Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hey! Oh, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of In Soccer We Trust. Also, Jimmy Conrad's favorite podcast now that he's a special guest and I'm taking over the hosting duties. He's got a busy time right now out in North Carolina. Jimmy, first off, let's start off at the top. You look shaven. You look like maybe the jersey's a little too big for you. Like you've undergrown. You haven't outgrown. You've undergrown into your jersey.
I'm like an under 10 kid that got his jersey for the first time, and it's like two sizes too big. But my team here, TST, Conrad Beasley United, won our first game in extra time, and it was super exciting. So I apologize to everybody for making us late. I know we have rosters to talk about and coaches to talk about, but I'm busy over here winning games.
Hey, I got to say, Jimmy, you know, we'll get into the roster. And if you haven't already, make sure you comment, like, subscribe, of course, and download, follow, leave a 5-star review, because Jimmy's taken his sweet time to join us right now. Jimmy, I guess my question for you is, does it feel a little bit like you're playing again, considering like you're kind of out of the loop of what's been happening outside of your world as a coach and player today? You know, like we talk to a lot of current players and like they got no idea what's going on in the world, you know, outside of their
I do. I definitely tapped into that. I mean, this has been interesting because I told Bees, DeMarcus, that I wasn't going to play. And then as you get closer and you start training, like, I think I can maybe do it. So, yeah, I'm running out. I could probably be the dad for a lot of these players. And to be able to go toe-to-toe with that is pretty fun. And it taps back into the things that we miss the most about playing, Heath. You know, just the camaraderie and competing. Because we don't get to compete as much as we used to.
Yeah, I've always wanted one of these things where it's like at a minimum we win something, at a minimum it's like a reunion out there, I'm hearing of all the former national team guys. Well, let's get into the Nations League roster reaction, Jimmy. We've got the roster out, and for those who haven't seen it, it's a pretty interesting roster. Goalkeepers.
Take us through it. Well, take us through it, Heath.
We got four goalkeepers on this one. Drake Callender gets called in, Josh Cohen, Sean Johnson, Matt Turner, obviously dealing with some...
Wait. Can we just do one position at a time? Like four goalkeepers? There has to be an explanation for that. But yeah, keep going. That's a lot of goalkeepers.
We'll get into that. It's injury concerns, obviously.
Okay.
Zach Steffen being a major one who just went through some sort of minor setback. I saw a picture of him on social media today with a wrap around his leg. I'm not sure what that was. I didn't really look into it. And then also Ethan Horvath, same thing, going through some injury issues. So bringing in four. Probably the ability to only need to bring in actually three to the game, but I would guess that they're probably pretty deep in the depth chart. Good for Matt Turner. But moving on to the defensive line, Serginho Dest, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, Joe Scally, Austin Trusty, and Walker Zimmerman. Obviously, we'll talk about each of these defensive lines as we get to it, but just get through the roster. Anybody's listening to this on audio. Midfielders, Johnny Cardozo, Luca De La Torre, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musa, Gio Reyna, Alan Sonora. And then up top, Brennan Aronson, our boy, Florin Balogun.
Yo.
Ricardo Pepe, Christian Pulisic, Tim Weah, and Alex Indejas. So let's I guess, Jimmy, real quick on goalkeepers, and we can move on from that. From what I understand, it seems to be Mostly about some injury concerns. Bringing in four goalkeepers is weird because that takes away who you bring in elsewhere. But it's really an interesting one.
Yeah, it is. I'm surprised. I was surprised that Zach Steffen looked like he had some surgery. I don't know how significant it is, but I'm excited to see how it goes. Sorry for your hearing stuff. Clint Dempsey's trying to talk louder than me. and hopefully we get him on the show here in a second.
Great flex. Early flex in the show.
No, you got to come over and say hi afterwards. But Clint Dempsey, everybody.
Hey, who needs Ambien? Just let Jimmy talk.
easy. That's uncalled for. Clint Dempsey, everybody.
But taking shots, Jimmy.
Yeah, taking shots, man. I'm just sitting here trying to talk about the roster. No, I mean, obviously disappointed. Want to learn more about what Zach's injury is. I think it is good for Matt Turner, like you mentioned. Drake Callender going to continue to get some experience. Josh Cohen, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv, did well in the Champions League group stages not too long ago, and kind of cool to see his name in there. So we're kind of curious about that. But I think Matt Turner is going to be the one that ultimately gets the start and probably gets the start in both games. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same thing. Obviously, I think there's that safety in knowing you're probably going to go with your one guy. You got a backup in Sean Johnson that has some experience, and you get some vital experience for the other guys in case of a emergency. And Josh Cohen, I think, is a great shout. For the defenders, though, no Mark McKenzie. Again, I understand that Mark McKenzie hasn't particularly played well in the national team when he gets his opportunities, but he's been good at the club level. And we actually have a quote from BJ Callahan, who kind of went through some of the omissions and said, I had to call Mark McKenzie personally and to tell him that he wasn't on the roster. I've known him since he was 12. It was a hard call, but he was professional about it. I have a pathway for him to continue with the U.S. national team, and no way is the door shut. He had an unbelievable
strength,
and he's going
to have more opportunities. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your quote, but I think what's easy for BJ Callahan, and we will talk about that at some point. We just want to get to the roster first. I think it helps for him to say, hey, we got a gold cup that you can play in. We want to evaluate you over a full month. We expect you to be a leader in that one. So that, I bet you that call is not too hard. Yeah, it's disappointing not to be with the quote-unquote first group, but I think there's still a big opportunity and a path forward, like BJ was saying. So
yeah.
So I'm disappointed for McKenzie. I thought John Brooks maybe had a shout. Didn't he have a quote about John Brooks as well?
We have a quote about John Brooks as well. John Brooks is a guy with a long history with the national team. We're consistently monitoring him. He's always under consideration. As long as he continues to put in good performances, he'll always be in consideration. That one feels a little bit more of a boilerplate of like, this guy's not getting
anything
happened. I have no idea what that was, but considering his form with the team playing in the Bundesliga compared to a Chris Richards who has not played, it's a pretty big discrepancy between the two of those. As an example of somebody not playing with somebody, if you wanted to use that as an argument for a call-up or not.
Yeah.
McKenzie and Brooks, as comments like Adam saying, better than Zip.
Yeah, for sure. I think with regard to Miles, he was part of that first group in the Nations League back in March and wasn't part of the friendly against Mexico in April. So I'm not surprised that he's in, no matter what his form is. I just think they kind of see him as one of the first teamers. With regard to Brooks and McKenzie being better form than Walker, maybe Walker would even agree to that, maybe, you know, if he's being irrational. But again, he's another one that has a lot of experience, has been in these situations before. So I'm not surprised that he's in the team, but I wonder who's going to be carried over for the Gold Cup roster. It doesn't sound like, based on the quote, that John Brooks is going to be the guy. But Chris Richards hasn't been playing a lot either. We could argue that McKenzie and Brooks have been looking sharper than Chris Richards at this point, right? So it just kind of depends. Sergiño Dest hasn't been playing at all, right? So it kind of depends how if you're going to set that standard, then it's got to be – everybody's got to be held to that same standard. And there are other guys in the pool that have been called in that haven't been playing at all. And so I'd look at that first before, you know, you start throwing darts at everybody. But yeah, I'm surprised that McKenzie in particular, I thought he really picked up his game, especially in the last few months. But I'm hopeful, based on what BJ's quote was, that he'll get called into the Gold Cup. But overall, I think Scally on one side, I like Trusty in there. I'm actually really excited to see Austin Trusty. Sorry, we went to Adam. And then Life of Bryce says, omissions are good, means we have some real depth, which is always a great problem to have. Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. I think that's a great shout depth-wise. And obviously – omissions are part of it. Like you said, we want to get to a point where it's like, if you're not playing, you're not called in, but we just don't have that luxury. We've never had that luxury. But at the same time, you look at somebody like Mark McKenzie having a great season. Another one, Jesus Ferreira, who's also still scoring goals. The quote from him with BJ is, I spoke to Jesus Ferreira, he's having a great start to the season. I told him to continue scoring goals. I love that he's a captain. He's a guy we'll continue to watch as we build out our Gold Cup roster. Again, another shout towards the Gold Cup. I think the interesting thing with this is there is a balance, as as we know, of players that need to move, players that need to be in their preseasons to prove themselves at the clubs they're staying at. A number of things happening between the Gold Cup and the Nations League. Nations League is our closest thing to an A team, but you do want to take a guy who's maybe fringe A or maybe a substitute in the A team and make sure you could get him six games in the Gold Cup, don't you think?
Totally. No, I agree with that 100%. And I think Ferrer falls into that category for sure. Jordan Morris. What's up, dude? No, you're good. I hope we see you in the final. And then we'll see what happens for $1 million. I don't know if we can be friends for like an hour. Ooh, we should do that.
For those of you that are hearing Jimmy speak out right now, he's talking to somebody in the background.
Sorry, Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey, everybody.
Clint Dempsey, another humble brag for Jimmy, another flex on the show, hoping to meet
That's
him
what
in the
I
final
do.
Tournament.
I'm partnering with DeMarcus and got Clint over here. His team won as well by a goal, so they're excited as well. Anyway, with regard to Jesus Ferrer, the Jordan Morrises, Paul Areolas, you know, I could see them in the Gold Cup. I wouldn't be surprised if they're there. And to your point, like Ferrer just has to continue to maintain and do well when he gets his opportunities. If you're coaching, you want to, and your players are a little disgruntled, they're frustrated, they're not getting looks at the higher level of wherever they are, then they have to be undeniable when they play. Like, it's so goddamn obvious that they're in control, they're running the show. And the more that you see that on a consistent basis, it's like, of course you're going to be with the first team. It makes perfect sense. And not to say they're not doing that at the MLS level, but if they get in with the Gold Cup, they need to be the guy. And him being the captain, I think BJ mentioning that is interesting. Like, him showing some leadership qualities is something that you need in the spine of your team. You need it up high. You need it in the middle of the field. You need it in the back. And, of course, you need it in your goalkeeper. So I think Ferreira's got everything to gain. And it looks like the Gold Cup will be where it happens. I'm actually really excited about the guys in the front, the forwards. Aronson, Balogun, Taylor Booth. I really want to see more of him. I'd love to see Balogun and Pepe playing together just to see some combination play. I don't know if we will. Got Pulisic, Weah, and Zendejas. I really like that one a lot. Cardoso, excited to see how he's doing. Obviously, he scored a couple big goals or had a big goal recently. Luca De La Torre, McKinney, Yunus Musa, Gio Reyna. I like that he's being marked as a midfielder now, right? So now you're starting to think of him more centrally. Alan Senora, I don't know. Every time I see him, I'm not – like, we talk about players being undeniable. He has something to his game that I like, but I'm not seeing it consistently. So he'd be the one where, like, I don't know. I could see somebody else coming in there instead.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's these guys on the fringe that I think there's a penetration or an entry point for other players throughout the summer to prove something against, you know, your Alan Senora's. He could prove himself in. You've got a Luca De La Torre that could prove himself in or even deeper into the squad. But you've got others coming in a Gold Cup that might be able to work their way into this core group, which is interesting. Is there any other ones that you think were omissions or players that you're excited about in terms of this game? Obviously, you play Mexico in a semifinal. It's a pretty massive one. We've got all this turnover right now from, you know, BJ Callahan stepping in, who we both know. Actually, the original guy I ran into in a coffee shop.
I know that's your flex of the day.
But is there anything else that you're excited about with this roster in terms of our ability to, I mean, keep the streak alive and compete with Mexico or beat Mexico in this game?
Yes, I know that you and Charlie have butted heads on this, but I it's Balogun time. I want to see him. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see what his energy's like, his enthusiasm to put on the red, white, and blue. So that is what stands out for me 1,000%. It's a Balogun show. I know it's against Mexico. I know there's a lot of things at stake. If he doesn't start, I understand your rationale as to why that would happen. And then now I want it to be the Balogun show as a super sub, and I want to see him come on and do his thing. I mean, there's going to be so much hype around it. I hope that he matches that hype in some capacity, because, you know, we do build up our players here. We do it. It's like an art form for us to build up our overhype our players. But I you know, seeing Taylor Booth, seeing Ricardo Pepe at the end of a season where he scored a bunch of goals.
What about Josh Sargent, Jimmy? What's the story with him? Is there again, maybe there was a quote. Maybe there was a quote that came out on him as well. I'm not really sure. I haven't really had a chance to really look into everything right now. But he was one that a lot of people have continued. He's actually got a large U.S. fan base of people that really like his style of play and think that he should be continuously in consideration, but isn't on this list.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder who you would take out. I mean, Balogun obviously is going to get in there. I think Pepe had done enough to warrant consideration. Yeah. I think
there's just
got
not
something.
Enough room, right? There's just not.
There really,
I mean,
there really
for depth. There's not enough. Like, if you can't just add without subtracting somebody.
Yeah, I think what's interesting now that I'm like processing the midfielders again. There's no Tyler Adams. So this is a big opportunity for somebody else to step up and say, you know what, if he's out, you don't need to lean on Kellen Acosta anymore. Aiden Morris isn't ready yet. you know, whoever we've got rolling in the U20s, Edelman, Daniel Edelman, you know, he's too young. I'm going to be that guy. And that's how I approached the national team. Like, I knew I probably wasn't going to start over Eddie Pope and Uguchi Onyewu. So I was like, I need to be the first choice if something happens over the Greg Berhalters, over the Corey Gibbs, over, you know, those types of guys, and to be trusted in that way. And I think that's how, like, the Johnny Cardosos of the world and Alan Senores need to look at it. Like, okay, I might not be first choice now, but can I make sure that I'm so valuable in so many different ways that they won't drop me because of what I bring to the table, and they can count on me and trust on me in any situation. And that's how I approached it. And I'm hopeful that these guys are doing the same, but this is a big opportunity for one of somebody to step in that number six spot and claim it as their own.
Well, again, I think the hard part is that we don't have a natural six right now on that roster, right?
Yeah.
Kellen Acosta could have been the closest thing to it, but he's not even really a six. Good in certain scenarios, but not a six, I think, at the starting standard of the national team. But I do think, and we'll get into the rosters as we'll get into the starting lineups, so to speak, as we get closer to the match. But it could be Musa McKinney there, and then maybe you go with an attacking player that's not in that actual crop of midfielders that they listed to go and roll out against Mexico. It's an offensive style of a lineup versus maybe another two-way midfielder added in there. But that's something definitely in consideration. But hold your thought on that, Jimmy. We're going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, we're talking BJ Callahan, Anthony Hudson departing, U20 World Cup, and lots of other things. So don't go anywhere.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Wow, Jimmy, we're back already. Just a little quick
one
there.
That was amazing. Amazing.
Guess what, Jimmy? In Soccer We Trust is more than a YouTube-first podcast. It is a community. Now you can rep that community with official In Soccer We Trust gear only found on the Paramount Shop. Discover t-shirts, mugs, sweatpants, laser engraved pint glasses. Jimmy, I know you like those. Hats, water bottles, and more to show your friends and family what is up. Right now, In Soccer We Trust listeners will get 20% off their order when they use this podcast exclusive code SOCCER20 during checkout. That's SOCCER20, and it's only available for our listeners. So head over to paramountshop.com/collections/InSoccerWeTrust and shop now. Jimmy, you should be having that on. Like, that should be the pullover, you know, like the I don't know if we make,
you know,
the In Soccer We Trust tearaway pants, but
I'm legit wearing the jersey I just walked off the field with, dude. I'm like in full sweat. So yeah, sorry.
We'll
I didn't have that ready
we'll
to
get
go.
You some we'll get you some tearaway pants, you know.
I
don't think those are in the shop, but we'll put in a request. Jimmy,
moving on from
the actual roster, and we're happy to go back to some of those things if you have any thoughts that kind of connect you back to the roster release. Overall, pretty happy with the release. Again, maybe not the peak roster we would want, but considering it's a multiple tournament summer or two tournament summer, there's a lot of things to manage. You're coming off long seasons, injuries, a lot of things that we don't know. Pretty happy about that. But a lot of change also happening right now. Anthony Hudson departs. BJ Callahan becomes the interim for the interim. You know, the assistant to the regional manager. And we're talking about BJ Callahan, you know, obviously spent a lot of time.
Well, tell us about your assistant. You spent some time having coffee with him.
Listen, it's a conflict of interest now. I can no longer reach out to him because he's in this position of power. The assistant's role are to be much more social when you run into them in a coffee shop like I did.
But you can at least give us some context. Everybody that I know loves BJ Callahan, like loves him, thinks he's a great guy. Thinks he knows the game inside and out. I don't know him as a communicator. I don't know, you know, is he a guy that sometimes is a better assistant than he is as a head coach. I guess we're going to find out. He obviously knows he's taking this on as an interim. I can understand why Anthony Hudson wanted to leave. It was clear that he wasn't being considered. He got an opportunity to – the reports are maybe somewhere in the Middle East. I don't know if you've heard anything more distinct than that.
No.
But he's got to strike when the iron's hot, right? So if he's getting some interest and people want him, he probably won't have as much later on, especially after a summer transfer window when teams are trying to look ahead and look to their upcoming season. So don't begrudge the guy at all. But it must be interesting for the player pool to be like, wait, why is – BJ texting me, like, where's Anthony? And like, why, where's Greg? Like, what happened with the, it's always like one thing after another.
Yeah. It seems like it
never, by the Athletic. Look at these talented bastards over here.
What a guy.
I appreciate you. All right. Thank you.
I think, you know, BJ's one that, like you said, has a great reputation. People love him. When I speak of his name, again, when I left the coffee shop, when I ran into him, it was just a casual conversation. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. Until we introduced ourselves, right? I was just making conversation. And then it opened up. And then, you know, he mentioned all the people that he knew and that he'd worked with and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and I started to connect with those people and say, hey, I ran into him and everybody spoke highly of him. So in terms of like a reputation, I think people are transparent enough to know if they didn't like him, they'd just be like, oh, cool, man. Tell him I said hi. But instead people are like, dude, that guy's awesome. He's great. He's, on that side of things, that doesn't always translate into being a head coaching role. And this brings up the point that we'll get to with the U-20s, with all this talk around like what's going to be the MLS team that Mikey Varas gets after the U-20 World Cup. And I say that because the romance.
Did we lose Heath Pierce, everybody? If Heath froze, I'm going to take over right now. Hey, look at me. So, Joe, just to finish his thoughts, I kind of know where he's going. I mean, you have this opportunity as an interim coach to – like Anthony Hudson, he's going to parlay that into an opportunity. There's no guarantee that if you're an assistant now or in the interim job, that the future coach is going to take you on his staff. So you have to do what's best for you. I think there is something to be said though, because when you're a player and you're around an assistant coach that you adore, when he gets the opportunity, even coach you in practice, if it's 7v7 or whatever, you always kind of ramp up your energy to play for this particular assistant. And if he was the second assistant, that means he was probably really close to a lot of the players. He's having a lot of more, I would say, vulnerable conversations. I remember when I was with Bruce Arena on the national team, you had Bruce, you had Glenn Myernick, and I had Kurt Anolfo. And if you had something that was, you kind of just wanted to get some insight about maybe how Bruce was thinking, I wouldn't necessarily go to Mooch, Glenn Myernick. I would go to Kurt to maybe get a little bit more. And so you start to have a little bit more banter with that second assistant. And so when they get an opportunity to coach and to be in charge, like your energy and your enthusiasm ramps up, because you don't want that person that you adore to fail. And so I wonder how the players are going to approach that and how they're like, oh crap, BJ's our coach now, you know? So that's going to be really interesting. And Heath is back. Great, Heath, to see you. But I was just giving some insight on when a second assistant takes over, like how excited you are as a player to like really play well for him. Cause you're so proud that he's getting this opportunity. You don't want to let him down in a way that's different than when you have like a proper head coach that's there. Who's, you know, he's got to make tough decisions. So he's not everybody's buddy, but the second assistant is everybody's buddy. So it's just a little bit different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a good point in that. I think people feel more comfortable, right? And feel like they have a relationship. A lot of times with head coaches, there's a little bit of that wall up between both.
Yeah,
you don't want to show your cards, you're developing that, and you don't, you know, kind of what they say and what they mean. There's always a little bit of that.
But you're still trying to gain some insight, and the second assistant always kind of, they can give you a little bit of like what Bruce or the Bob or whoever's.
A large role generally in that sort of traditional setup would be to give you a little bit of that insight. Like, what's the coach saying, or what are they thinking, or turn that into positive motivation for you when things are going wrong, or give you some constructive criticism to develop as a player. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how long this. I mean, obviously he's going to get two big tournaments, and this is thrown into the fire. I think it's a huge opportunity for him. Do you think, Jimmy, that when they came to him with that, it was a little bit of like a do I have to? Because like,
Sure?
I know he's up for the task, but like, it's one of those things where it's like it not given a whole lot of time to make this. And maybe there was things happening in the background for a while, and he's been prepping for this for a bit. But you know, it certainly seems like it came fast and quick.
No, and I think too, you're trying to make a good first impression with Fuller and Balogun. Like, we want this guy to think, man, this is the place I want to be, not him coming in going, I might have regretted this decision, you know? So I'm using that as an example, but I'm sure that they've had conversations. I'm sure that Matt Crocker, Oguchi Onyewu, right? I mean, that's his role, is to get in there and to kind of bridge that gap, give good communication, really let Balogun know. I'll use him as an example again to say, hey, this is what the plan is. Right now we're just working through that. We have to make sure that these certain candidates are available before we can talk to them, but they've already shown some interest. And you can kind of pave and lay the foundation for what's going to come. But yeah, we're going to be hanging out with BJ for the summer, and hopefully everybody's in a good mood and ready to get after it. But it's going to be interesting to see the kind of decisions he makes and what he chooses to do. And I wonder, like, is he going to talk to Gooch about anything tactically? Like, who is he? People are usually leaning on him to like, hey, can you confirm these ideas for me? Now he's going to turn around and be like, I don't have anybody. There's nobody else over to my shoulder outside of the goalkeeper coach.
Does it feel
the physical therapist?
Yeah. Does it feel a little bit like maybe, do you think Anthony Hudson left on great terms? I mean, he's leaving before this massive tournament. I could get between Nations League and Gold Cup, but like, what's the opportunity that hasn't been announced that he has to leave so quickly for that you couldn't like be like, let me get through these two games that are like the U.S.'s biggest games of the year right now?
That's a great question. I think that with time that will come out. But in the moment, I get the sense, or this is pure speculation, but I get the sense that he probably got told that we're actually not considering you for the job and was probably very active in like, okay, I'm going to tell my agent or whoever that I'm going to go find something. And when something came, he probably weighed, do I want to stick around or do I just want to go? Do I want to just get after it right away? So I think he probably needed maybe to get out of the hot seat in some capacity and really just start look forward to the other opportunity. You know, he doesn't owe us anything. So, you know, I appreciate what he did and seemed like the players like playing for him. But onwards and upwards we go, and hopefully BJ can steady the ship until we get to the full-time manager.
Right. And three games, right? Two wins, one draw. Got commitment from Balogun while he was in there. And obviously that's a group effort. It's not just one guy who's just like, you know, convinced somebody to make that type of decision. But do you think, obviously BJ's role, do you think there was any contingencies on his future? Or is it just like, this is the next thing for him? Because timing wise, same thing. If you're Hudson, you got to be thinking about like, well, if I'm not here and summer's coming, like I need to be thinking about what's best for me next, because you go and hire a coach and I'm out, call it August, I'm in a tough spot.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because if you go get
somebody, do you think it's a tryout for him for BJ or like a head coaching role?
I don't.
Or not for the national team, but for a head coaching role somewhere or his next role somewhere.
Oh, that's possible. I think this is a good time to be in the shop window and to, if he's ever been in interviews and didn't get them, if he can showcase that he's capable of managing the national team in two significant tournaments this summer, I think you start to look at him a little bit different. And so, yeah, it's a good opportunity for him to say, I can be the top guy. I can be the leader. I can manage a whole bunch of egos. I can make good tactical changes and make subs at the right times, you know, or I can make tweaks at halftime that show that the team's playing better. Yeah, there's a huge opportunity and hopefully one that he doesn't pass up. So I'm excited for him. Like I said, I've heard nothing but great things. And for him to finally get this moment, even though it was, you know, the baton's been passed a couple times before he got it, you know, it's you and I both got opportunities with the national team because of injuries. Like if Eddie Pope hadn't got injured, Danny Califf didn't get injured, or all these other guys that I was competing with didn't have some kind of knock, then I don't know if I would have found myself having the same opportunities. And when they come, you have to take them. And I think that I did that in particular. And so obviously very proud of that. My flex
well,
of the day.
I think, you know, to move on from just this the most upcoming, which is the most pressing, two big friendlies announced for the fall, which again, when I think about like the series of games that Greg Berhalter had through the pandemic and things like that, it was tough to get good opponents, right? Pandemic, schedules and things like that. We've now got US versus Germany on October 14th. Mm-hmm, and then on October 17th, we're taking on Ghana, which I think for a new coach is a great opportunity to challenge ourselves, knowing we've got Gold Cup now, then we'll have Copa America. And, you know, this string of games, we're going to have to really test ourselves in the friendly windows that we get over the next few years to kind of see where we're at, you know, kind of like. And so this is a huge opportunity.
No, huge. I love both of these opponents. Initially, when I saw it, I think the conversation for us more often than not is, wouldn't it be cool if we played this in Germany? Wouldn't this be cool if we played this in Ghana? Mm-hmm. Because that environment is hard for us to replicate here in the States. Now, that said, the Copa America in 24 or even these summer games, you know, everything's in the States. 24 Copa America in the States, 25 Gold Cup or whenever the next Gold Cup is after that in the States, World Cup in 26 in the States. So I guess we don't need to go chase it and try to get those away games. But there is something that I think you learn about your team when you suffer. And not to say that we won't suffer against these opponents. They're obviously fantastic opponents in this window in October. But when you go away from home, I think you just learn. You know it too, Heath, right? When you go away from home, you have to lean on each other in ways that you can't replicate always mm-hmm. here when we play stateside. So I think we might miss a little bit of an opportunity there, but so much better than some of the other opponents we seem to get. And so Germany and Ghana, obviously, two teams that we've played in the World Cup before, will be a lot of fun and I think a great experience for our guys.
Yeah, it's a great shout. I guess, you know, finally for me, does this, looking at this Nations League roster, do you think that's the team that beats Mexico? Do you think that's the best team we have available? Again, I don't want to nitpick each kind of player of what could be different, but do you think we're putting out our I guess did the roster surprise you a little bit in terms of some names?
I think
omissions and things like that, but ultimately it comes down. Omissions are generally French players. They're not going to be your like starting 11, best 11 that goes out and beats Mexico.
I would say that my big surprise was Zach Steffen being hurt. I didn't even realize that was an issue. That's on the goalkeeper side. I was surprised not to see a Mark McKenzie or a John Brooks, you know, either one of those, given that Serginho Dest hasn't played a lot. Chris Richards hasn't played a lot. So having Miles and Walker in, I thought maybe they would use those guys for the Gold Cup. I thought Austin Trusty would be a Gold Cup pick because seeing him over a month, over six games, I thought would be important. It was kind of the coming out party for Miles Robinson the last time around. I thought Austin Trusty could maybe slot into that. Not to say he wouldn't be a carryover. Midfielders, I'm still a little bit surprised by Senora, but clearly there's a method to the madness. So hopefully BJ will be able to explain it for us moving forward. I think a big opportunity, as I said before, to somebody step into that six and really be the backup to Tyler Adams. And then I love the forwards. I mean, now we have a plethora of options. That's from the movie Three Amigos, plethora. And that really dates me. I shouldn't have said that. But I will say that how we utilize Balogun, I think, is going to be really important. Who we partner him with, whether with wingers or a second striker, and where we try to get him the ball. We're very width heavy, right? We like to get the balls out wide to our wingers. And when they cut in, then we have our wingbacks bomb forward and try to be part of the attack. It doesn't allow a Balogun or a Pepe or any of our number nines to touch the balls probably as much as they'd like. So how do we figure that out? And then obviously we didn't talk about this, but Gio Reyna being listed as a midfielder means that we might see him a little bit more central. So you could have a McKinney, Musa, and Reyna midfield, which is something we've been clamoring for when Tyler's not available. So we'll see if that happens and we'll see what that looks like. And what does Gio look like when he's playing with Balogun? I mean, there's so many now fun combinations that I want to see get unlocked. And why not against our biggest rivals in Mexico? That'll be a lot of fun.
I love that. Well, I'm going to hold you on to that one because we're going to take our second and final break of the show. Jimmy, when we come back, we're talking about U20 World Cup. We got some roundup of news around the world pertaining to our U.S. men's national team. So stay right there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to In Soccer We Trust. Obviously, Heath Pierce with Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy Conrad in North Carolina right now, playing his way to $1 million, which he's going to give to all of us, including the fans. Every single dollar is being donated back to the people that have supported him all this time, including myself. So we're excited about that. Jimmy, did you get a chance to see much of the U.S.'s win, U20 win over New Zealand?
Yeah, I got to see some of the highlights. I didn't watch all of the game, but I got portions of it, and then I ultimately saw the goals. And we got some players that got some sauce. Everybody knows that you listen regularly that I'm a Diego Luna stan. So anytime that he kind of shows his quality, it always makes me wonder why Real Salt Lake doesn't play him more. But then I realize that Pablo Mastroianni, who I love and adore, coaches Salt Lake, and Diego Luna isn't that's just not his type of player, you know.
He's not the fight until the end kind of guy. He's a specialist, right? But you got to ride with him, Jimmy. And That's a really great shout, because I did the Seattle Sounders San Jose game yesterday, and obviously Cade Cowell, you know, part of that was that Lucci having a belief in a young player like that, who's not going to have a good game every game, right? And we're seeing the benefits of 3 years of somebody our club consistently investing in him and his development. You know, consistent minutes, maybe not always a starter, but always being top of mind to develop. And we're seeing that come to life now in terms of his next steps, right? He can go left, he can go right now, right? He used to only be able to drive inside. Yeah. Now he's going left more. He's more decisive. He's making the game more predictable. His finishing is getting a little bit better. Obviously, still a ton of ways to go, but you're seeing that potential, and he's got an environment where that is developing versus a Luna, who is not getting better, but is proving at this stage that he's got something, but he can't just be a luxury player in a team at his age.
Yeah, there's a lot to go there. I'll go back to Cade Cowell. With regard to Cade Cowell, what I like about his game too, to your point, he's going left, he's going right, and he's making himself a little bit more unpredictable. When you're talking about decisiveness and playing with purpose, when I see Cade Cowell playing right now, and maybe we got to give credit to Lucci here. He's been fantastic with young players throughout his career. So no big surprise, we're seeing a little bit of a jump. Nico Chiquiris is another one that plays for San Jose and for Lucci. And he's making his decision to go forward quicker. You know how sometimes you get the ball and then I just think he was doing that before. He'd get it like, oh, now I'll go. As opposed to like you're actually taking that first touch into the area that you want to go. And that purposeful play sets the tone for everybody else. When Cade gets it, he's looking to go forward. And when we talk about some of the world's best players that we've played against and we share those types of stories, that's all they're looking for. It's almost insulting for them to play backwards, right? So they're always looking to play forward. They're always trying to run forward. They're always trying to support the ball by being in a forward position. And I think we're seeing more of Cade Cowell in that way, which is obviously very exciting for full team, national team fans. But I've been excited with him. I think that we've created, and this is a bigger conversation, but because of the amount of players that we have playing and the amount of training that they're doing, I don't know if we always give them room to be themselves, right? They're being coached 95% of the time. And the only time they can be themselves is in a game. And in a game, the pressure is different. You have parents watching or you're at an academy and there's just like a lot. You just play safe. Diego Luna doesn't play safe. That guy's a risk taker. He's got that sauce. So how do we nurture somebody that has that and really build around him?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're comfortable doing that. And I think that's a shame, because I think we miss out on a lot of talented players that could really help us take steps at the youth level. And then obviously as that mindset starts to trickle in to wherever they're playing moving forward. What's a shame, and we start to extrapolate this out to what MLS is doing, we don't recruit playmaking players here that are American. We go get them from South America or somewhere else. We have one here with Diego Luna, and he seems like he's being stifled at the club level to really blossom, but we see him at the U-20s that he can do something. Is there a team out there that's willing to ride or die with his style and his ability? Now, he's got to start playing a little bit more both ways, but again, I played with Preki. Preki, I didn't want him to spend any, and I've talked about this before, any energy defending, right? We want him to spend all of his energy going forward. What do we do? He's an MLS MVP twice. I feel like we're getting away from that a little bit, and Diego Luna has shown that he can be some connective tissue, to your favorite phrase, and a little bit of the glue to bring in. So, yeah, sometimes he does too much, but that's – you don't want to handcuff him there. Like, that's what makes the game and him special, is that he's trying stuff. Now you just got to get everybody on the same page and say, hey, Diego might be trying something here. Anyway, I think the team has been fantastic on both sides of the ball. Got Gago Slonina making the saves that he has to make. And now we're going to have a tough game in the quarters. But we're the first or the only nation in the last three or four World Cups to get to the quarterfinals in four consecutive years, tournaments. So very exciting. I think that Uruguay's up 1-0 on Gambia right now, and that's who we're going to play next.
Yeah, both teams had a red card, obviously. Uruguay up a man from the 17th minute on, then giving up one right before halftime, scoring that goal up 1-0. Looks like that could end up, if it ends up 1-0, the U.S. will play Uruguay. A little bit weird, because the U.S. is getting quite a big rest for this next game compared to Uruguay, who are only going to get 2 days rest before the game. We actually haven't given up a goal yet. We have a soundbite from Gago Slonina. So let's take a listen to this and react.
Find defending attractive, which a lot of teams, you know, can be the less attractive side of the game. But I think that we really like to defend. We like to keep clean sheets. And then, hopefully we can keep that unity going and continue to hopefully get the fifth and the sixth and then the seventh. Yeah, I mean, I really like that. I haven't had much to do. I'll take a game like that any single day if we can keep a clean sheet. It just shows that, you know, the 10 guys in front of me are really putting in a shift to make sure that they're defending to the best of their ability and, you know, limiting the chances that the opposition gets.
Well, you have there, Jimmy. I mean, obviously, it has been so far in this tournament where he's got to make one or two saves a game to keep them in the matches. And that's what it's going to be like if he ever gets his shot at a maybe not current Chelsea, but a historic Chelsea, right? A club that's made to be dominant, and the goalkeeper has to be able to stand on their head a couple teams to keep them when they're in a vulnerable spot. But again, the question is, have they really been tested yet, right? Was the group as hard as we thought? Ecuador? No, we saw Slovakia get absolutely battered in the round of 16. And it's just... I'm just wondering round of 16. And so I just wonder where we're going to find an opponent that's really going to challenge us. Could be in this round if it ends up being Gambia or Uruguay.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. This group has proven that, as I mentioned, can do well on both sides of the ball. And you will hear from Gaga there about how stout defensively. And it's not just without the ball. I mean, we have a lot of possession. We're dominating in a lot of the key metrics that we should be proud of, you know, controlling the game. I think something that I focus on as a coach and as a player is like dictating the flow, when to speed it up, when to slow it down. And I think that we're seeing a good portion of that, which I think speaks to the maturity of our players, which then speaks to, it's a sign that our infrastructure, right, underneath a national team, underneath MLS, USL, whatever it is, it's getting better, right? And they're starting to become more savvy to the nuances and subtleties of the game. They're learning how to manage the game, which you and I both know is an art form. There are plenty of top teams around the world at all levels that don't know how to manage a game. And I feel like we've done a nice job of that. However, we haven't been tested yet. Uruguay will be a nice test for us. And if we can get into a semifinal, that would be the farthest we've gotten at this level, at the U20 level, since 1989. So it'd be a really, really big deal. It's fun to see England go out. Sucks to be you guys. Fun to see France not even get out of their group after they slapped us around in a friendly 2 months ago, 4-0. So you got to show up and play. Just because you have the French national team or English national team crest on your shirt doesn't mean people are going to lay down for you. So I'm excited. I'm curious to see. This is the big thing, right? As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you don't know what kind of team you have until you suffer. If we go down a goal, then we're going to find out what these guys are all about. As of right now, everything's been gravy. But until we start to suffer a little bit, then we're going to find out who we can probably count on and be excited about moving forward in this player pool.
Yeah, I think I do like the confidence of this team, though, the willingness to take chances, the combination of passes, the vision, the ideas, the diversity of playing styles within this group, too, that allows us to deploy a few different ways, which is totally surprising to me. All right, Jimmy, moving on. Obviously, I'm going to run through a few different topics. Jump in where you want. Okay. Obviously, okay. CCL final first leg ends Club Leon. Had a goal brought back at certain point. Could have been 3-0. Could have been worse away from home for LAFC. Bwanga gives them the lifeline at the end.
Wow. Thank you, Bwanga.
Or bag or something while he's celebrating, taunting the fans a little bit. LA Galaxy finally get their win after the sacking of Chris Klein. New president bounce is what we'll call that.
That's maybe. Not real, dude. I'm not digging that.
Yeah, that's not real. No. You're not digging that? Okay, Inter Miami lose to New York Red Bull. Neville had a little bit of a meltdown, forgetting the question, asking the question. I don't know if you've seen that video. If you haven't, go find it on the YouTubes or the social spaces. And then Atlanta Revs with a 3-3, just a lot of goals happening in that one, with Hills salvaging a point in injury time. And then also, we've got a video of this, of Ethan Horvath talking about promotion. And within all of this, Zach Steffen, which we have more information on, is going to be out 3 to 4 months, according to Stephen Goff, after undergoing a knee surgery to clean out meniscus damage. But here's the video we have of Ethan Horvath.
Fans, don't know what to say, but thank you for all your support through this whole year. The semifinal game and today, you were absolutely amazing. We're going to the Prem!
Amazing. I mean, I didn't know if he had another gear, Jimmy, when he talks, but you could see there at the end he was excited.
He did. He finally had it.
And showed it in the end. So obviously, incredible for him. I can't wait to see what his role is within the national team this summer. Whether he's going to get the whole Gold Cup or maybe taking a break, or if he's dealing with some injury issues before a really big season next year. It's a lot to take into consideration for him. So hopefully we can get to him. And then finally, as we've seen everywhere, Leeds are relegated. And The Athletic reports that Aronson has a relegation clause and that Adams is also expected to leave. I think it's a great thing. You know, we don't like to leave things worse than we found it. But when it comes to our national team players, let's get out while we can and get to a place.
Well, I think Tyler in particular, when you think about it, I want to get your quick thoughts on Aronson. And not to say that people wouldn't want him, but there's a part of me that wanted him to go to the championship and fight it out a little bit. However, if you get locked in and you can't get out now and then you're stuck in the championship for a while, that could be difficult. So it might be a time to make a jump. But there was a part of me that thought that he would be better from that experience in the championship, just like we've seen with some of our other guys, with Trusty and Sargent and all those other guys.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Jimmy?
Anyway,
we're getting towards the end of the show, but next week we're gonna move toward. I mean, we're gonna try to get ourselves a little Fabrizio Romano.
Oh,
to get his availability to come on and talk to
the U.S.
national team player pool, where they might be going this summer, where the moves are for these players,
awesome.
Who needs to move, where they might go, what's true, what's not. Hopefully, we'll get him in. Hopefully,
he can talk Brendan Aronson. What am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. We don't know anything other than emotions, Jimmy, and this guy knows the facts. So hopefully, we'll get him onto the show. But let's move on to final thoughts. Any final thoughts for you before we close this thing out?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to LAFC for hanging in there in leg one in Mexico City against León. They got pumped. Defensively, that was the most vulnerable I'd seen them throughout. It's always difficult to go down there and play, as we've seen. But they gave themselves a chance and a lifeline for leg two on June 4th. So I'm very excited to see June 3rd or 4th, this weekend they're playing. So I'm excited to see how they perform. And it should be great. That should be a great game. And I'm glad that it's close and not a blowout, because now they don't have as much work to do. But I think that there were some vulnerabilities there that León really took advantage of, and it could have been a lot worse. But they're in it. And then I want to give a shout out to Sporting Kansas City. They've won their last two games. They're starting to dig themselves out of that hole. It looks like Peter Vermes is safe for now. I'm happy that that's happening. It's great for the fans, incredible fan base. And so very cool and excited for what's happening in Kansas City right now. As we know, things can change quite quickly. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm riding the wave, and I'm excited playing hashtag United tonight. Watch me play on my YouTube channel. Yeah. You want to come hang out and watch.
I like that. Well, my final thought is just, again, on LAFC. What I like in the narrative that I've been hearing since they lost 2-1 is that that's a great result. And that doesn't worry me. That makes me excited that we've got a team with a quality like LAFC have to lose the first leg and know they're going to get the goals. They did it against León before in the past. But a team that you know can lose 2-1 is like kind of – I never believed that about an MLS team before, other than maybe the Sounders, that could give up a result away and know that they're going to score enough goals to get a win at home. To me, it's a big deal in terms of the quality and belief that we have within our team. But that is it, Jimmy. We will see everybody – again,
yes,
on Monday show. Thank you so much for listening in, Soccer We Trust. Take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. Just say nice things about Jimmy and I, as well as Chuck Davies, of course. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We're also available as video. So subscribe to us on YouTube and hit that notification bell so that you know every time we are going live. So on behalf of myself, Jimmy Conradinho, Conrad, I'm going to keep that short today. Producer Dez, producer Alex, and Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, we will see you guys next week.
Peace.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.